try this microphone. I checked it out before service and seemed to be doing okay. Sunday night, Brother Hazel had a time with microphones. I sometimes just believe a devil gets in them. Amen. I do want to say this about Brother Bill Adair. I failed to have him put on the as missionaries. He's already announced the fact that he's going to be going on deputation and working toward that mission field. And so he mentioned that to us. And we as a church have not officially taken him on as one of our missionaries, but we will, and Lord willing anyway. And didn't want him to think we left him out tonight. I thought about him while I was praying, went and going through those lists. I said, Bill Adair, we need to pray for him. And so you pray for him because he's endeavoring to start in a new type of ministry for him. And he's getting some experience at it now, going into prisons. Fact is, he got to where he likes to go to jail. That's good as long as he's going on right side of the bars. I was pastoring in Rural Retreat one time, and the jail in Withville had an upstairs where they kept the prisoners and had a walkway around all the bars, and you could talk to everybody. And so I was there for service and went up there, and the guard locked me in and that one little section around the place, and he went back downstairs. Well, I preached. I talked to him. I stayed around, and I never did. I thought I was going to spend the rest of the night there with him. And finally, one of the prisoners said, let me try to get to his attention. Finally got his attention, and I got out of there. Now, I like being there preaching, but I didn't like being there. Couldn't get out. Anyway, they've let Bill out so far, and so we're thankful for that. But he said if he ever gets caught in a lockdown, he'll have to stay there a while. And so we hope he doesn't get caught in that, but if he does, he'll have a long time to witness and tell him about Jesus is all I know. Amen. All right, good to see all of you. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Now, you're familiar with your Bibles, you know that Saul has been anointed king. Saul's been came in humble, that way, but God told him what to do about the Amalekites and went down there, but he didn't do what God said do, and he's supposed to wait on Samuel, and he didn't do that, he didn't do all he's supposed to have done, and here Samuel comes on the scene, and verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, those scriptures mean a whole lot to me because when God called me to preach, the first message I ever preached, I preached out of that verse of scripture. Better to obey than sacrifice. God dealt with my heart about that. And it really is better to obey. And to hearken than the fat of rams. For the rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He also have rejected thee from being king. Won't you notice in that verse that he's talking about rebellion and witchcraft, and stubbornness, iniquity, and idolatry, all in the same context of the fact that he just disobeyed God, didn't do what God said. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, and I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And that's a sad commentary, and all of us preachers have to be careful about that. And now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. That's a strong statement, isn't it? He just has said, I've sinned. You see, sometimes folk go beyond the point where God says, that's enough. That's enough. And here he's saying, I've sinned. Whether he's sincere about that or not, I kind of doubt it for the what follows later in the story. But he made the statement, but not always sincere. And Samuel said, I'm not going to turn back with you. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord have rejected thee from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord have rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to thy neighbor thine that is better than thee. I want you to look with me, please, in chapter 16 and verse number 6. And it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But now here Samuel is before the sons of Jesse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shimon to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord have not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are there here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he went and brought him in. Now he was ready, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. I want us to bow our heads and pray just for a moment. Then we're going to try to bring you the message God has laid on our heart. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege to be back in the house of God tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name for that divine anointing power of the Holy Spirit. God, help me to think and be able to say what I need to say. And I pray the message, God, would go into our hearts and sink deep within. And help all of us to look at ourselves and think. And I pray challenge and encourage and convict where it's needed, and we'll praise you. Lord, you know every heart of every individual in this house. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would do that work that only you can do. And Lord, I want to be a mouthpiece for you. I want to be that servant tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, help us handle the word of God as you'd have us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. My thought tonight is this. Character or reputation? Character or reputation? Character is what you are. Reputation is what people think you are. And it's not wrong to want people to think well of you. It's not wrong to want to do good things. There's nothing wrong with that. I hope you follow with me in this. But I want to show you something about this thing about character and reputation. As we think about it, God is not impressed with a lot of things that we think impresses God. And whether we want to admit it or not, sometimes we try to impress God. And God is not impressed with outward appearance, by the way. Now, God talks about modesty. God talks about how we ought to look and that kind of thing. He does want us to have a good testimony in that. But our outward appearance does not impress God. If you will, please look in chapter 16 again. And verse number 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, because Samuel thought surely that one was, at first when he looked at it, thought surely that's him. He looked like a king, so he looked like, and he said, don't look on his countenance on the height of his stature, because I refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He said, now you're just looking at the outside. I look on the inside. I look at the heart. And so God is not impressed with the outward appearance. God's not impressed with our offerings. And now he expects us to give, expects us to do, expects us to do all that. That's well and good and has its place and ought to be. But that doesn't impress God any. When you talk about meriting anything with God, it doesn't impress God. Look in our text we read, verse number 22 in the chapter 15. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight and burnt offerings and sacrifices, and him obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, obey is better than sacrifice. Well, you can give and do all that, but still not being obedient to God, and God's not satisfied with that. And so we need to understand that. And then by what we say, we can say a lot of things. words come easily sometimes, and we say a lot with our, and Apostle Peter said a whole lot one day when he said, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to do that. Everybody else may, but I'm not. But those words came easy, but then when testing time come, he denied the Lord. And so what we say, don't it really impress God if there's not some life backing up what we say? And it's not what we say. Even what we do doesn't impress God as such. And it's good to do good. I mean, come to church, read your Bible, pray, all that. And all has we ought to do good. That's not really what impresses God. What he's really looking for is not that. How we act, how we conduct ourselves and our attitude and all of that, that's important. It really ought to be important to us, but that's not really what God is really looking for. God's looking for the heart and what's inside the heart, how God deals with that. That's what God really is looking for. Am I not on? Didn't turn it on, did I? It helps if you turn it on. All right. I knew when I backed up there something was wrong. But anyway, God's not, I just want to mention those things that we sometimes... And I'm sure, I don't know the crowd I'm talking to tonight. It's a Wednesday night crowd and faithful crowd. I understand that. But sometimes we try, not meaning to, maybe, back, not really consciously meaning to, but try to impress somebody or God in what we do, say, act, how we are, and all of that. But God's looking at the heart. God's looking for for character, not reputation. And I don't want to ever minimize the things I just mentioned. I don't want to ever minimize the fact that we ought to be of good reputation. I don't want to minimize that. But I do want you to understand tonight that what's in the heart is where God is really looking for, what's really in your heart. I look at you tonight and I see the outward appearance. I see you. I hear what you say. I see what you do and all of that. But I cannot really see your heart. I do not really know what's on the inside of you. And so only God knows that. And I was thinking about this the other day and looking at it. And here Saul is, and Saul messed up. Saul certainly had a good reputation to start with, but he messed up by disobedience. But David was a good character. And I want to show you three or four things about David tonight that I really want to get to. Here's what I'm trying to get to. And I'm just going to give you, I don't think it'll take much time to do it, but I want you to see it. I want you to get it tonight because I think it's really important in our day that we really know what kind of character we really are. And I'm not talking about outward appearance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the heart. What is our character of real character? You know why some people do what they do? Because their character is not right. They're not of the right character. But that character is more than reputation. People's got, some folk have good reputations that really, if you knew their character, it's different from what their reputation is. And so we need to be sure that we know what we're talking about. I want you to look at this. He was a faithful shepherd. What God saw in David was a faithful shepherd. You said, well, why is that important? Well, look at it with me. In verse number 11, chapter 16. Verse 11, chapter 16. We're staying in the book of 1 Samuel, so stay with me. In verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And then Samuel said, go send for him. You'll get him. But I want you to turn over in chapter 17 and look at verse number 34 and some verses following. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and now the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now, here's some things I want to say to you about this. Number one, about David and being a faithful shepherd was the fact that he went about his father's business. He did what he's supposed to be doing. Now, here's all the sons of Jesse. Samuel's come to anoint somebody a king. All the sons of Jesse come by except for one.
And David's out there somewhere in the field keeping sheep. And undoubtedly, Jesse didn't even think about going and getting him. And undoubtedly, the other brothers didn't think about him. He's out there keeping sheep. Nobody's seeing him. Nobody's looking at him. But he's taking care of the sheep. He's feeding sheep. He's helping the sick sheep. He's helping the hurt sheep. He's being faithful with the sheep. I say hallelujah. You know what makes that so good? There was not anybody watching him do it. He did it without anybody saying, boy, you're doing a good job. He did it without anybody saying, boy, you're taking care of the sheep good. He just out there doing what he was doing because that's what he's supposed to be doing. And nobody paying any attention to it. Now, here comes a part that I really like about he killed a lion and a bear. And David undoubtedly, I don't know, he even had a bow and arrow. Probably had a knife, some kind, and some kind of weaponry, and had a staff anyway. But he caught a lion by his beard and slew him and killed a bear same way. You say, well, how did he do that? I wouldn't want to face a lion. Lion had stole a lamb. Had a lamb and was running off with it. He said he delivered him out of his mouth. Did he not? And did that? Now, David did that. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. If I was out there with a bunch of sheep, and with my uncle, I messed with sheep a little bit, not a whole lot, but if I was out there with a bunch of sheep, and there was a lion came and took one of the lambs, I'm not sure I'd go after him. Anybody looking or not looking? I'm not sure I'd do that, but David did. David went after him, and David got out there, and when he got him, he slew him and took care of him. I say hallelujah. Amen. But here's a good thing about it. There wasn't anybody watching. David wasn't trying to show, look how brave I am. Look how much a man I am. Well, I'm a little shepherd boy out here and there back there. At my dad's and all those men passing by. I'm out here by myself with this bunch of sheep. But I'm not going to let that lion take that lamb. I'm going after him. And he went after him. The bear came, did the same. He went after him and got him, killed him, and took care of him. Wasn't anybody looking. Now, if somebody comes in here and I hate to mention this because it might happen. Are you armed tonight, Brother Tony? Maybe you better be from now on. Think about getting one myself. Amen. But there's idiots out there. I guess that's a good word to use. There's people full of devil anyway. And they'll come in and start shooting. And, you know, if somebody came in and start shooting and, you know, everybody's around looking at you and you have an opportunity to do something about it, you'd probably try to do it if nothing else so you wouldn't look like a coward. I would hope so anyway. If you wouldn't try to protect me, I'd think you're a coward. Amen. But I'd also want to protect you. I wouldn't want to just knuckle down behind this pulpit and say, well, I'm going to hide while he shoots up everybody else. I wouldn't want to do that either. So I'm thinking what I'm saying is, in a group of people, I think we'd probably do different than we would if anybody wasn't anybody looking. People do a lot of things when people are looking at them. Some people say, well, I want something to do in church, but they don't want to do anything somebody's not going to see. As long as somebody's looking at them, well, that's good. I'm glad to have that position. But when it's come to doing something nobody sees, nobody knows anything about, then that's a different story. Amen. But it's good when we want to do what we want to do because we want to do it for the glory of God. And so David was in fact, let me plug this in right here. If you're not faithful over the little things, you'll never be faithful over big things. Amen. If you're not faithful to do those little things, God will never bless you with doing those big things. And so you must be faithful in the little things. I encourage you about that. I said it wouldn't take long tonight, and I'm hung up on the first point. So I got to hurry and get out for this one, because here David was, he's a shepherd. But I want you to know he's a faithful son too. Amen. He wasn't just a faithful shepherd, he's a faithful son. He did his father's business, took care of that business, and did what God said to do, what his father told him to do. But look over in chapter 17 again, in verse 17. And Jesse, that's his dad, said unto David, thy son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David, now get this verse. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host forth to fight. He did what his dad said to do. He was keeping sheep. When dad told him to keep sheep, watch sheep, he watched sheep. When dad said, now I want you to go over yonder and see about your brother. I don't know what his dad said about those sheep, but I noticed in that verse of scripture that David made sure that somebody took care of the sheep. I thought that significant that David cared somebody. Hey, I'm going to go do what dad said. I'm going over and see a battle. I'm going over where they're fighting. But somebody has got to take care of the sheep. And so he said, I'm gonna see they got somebody. And said he left them in the, said David left them in the hands of a keeper. I don't believe he got just anybody. I believe he looked around, found somebody that he'd seen be faithful in some little something, and said, I'm gonna let you keep those sheep till I get back. And you take care of them till I get back. David did that. Then he went and did what his dad said, took off and did what his dad said. How good it is to be a faithful shepherd. How good it is to be a faithful son. And David was both of those. Hallelujah. And we need the same thing. And we earlier talking about children obeying parents. We need some young folk that know how to obey parents. And we, amen, we need some young folk and adults alike that know how to be faithful in the things of God. We need to know how to be faithful and serve God and do what God have us to do. Whether, whatever. I like what Brother Tenjan said. If you, I forget the exact words he used it, but if what you do it only to be seen. Somebody else is doing it and you get mad about it, and you're not doing it for the right reason anyhow. That's not the way he put it, but that's the way I put it. It means the same thing. It means it doesn't make any difference who's doing it. If you're here to worship God, just enjoy what God's doing. Amen. And get with it. Praise God. And let God help you with it. But I want to show you something else. He's a faithful soldier also. Look in chapter 17, verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, taketh away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He looked at Goliath and said, who does he think he is? And here's David. He's a shepherd boy, been faithful being a shepherd boy. He runs out there, youngest of the crowd. Those men out there fighting the battle, they're cowed down afraid. David looks out there, and he sees the enemy for who he is. He's defying the armies of God. He's making fun of them. And notice, if you will, please, in verse 29. Now, in verse 28, his older brother makes fun of David. He said, who'd you leave those few sheep with? Well, David had taken care of those few sheep. David taking care of them. But he was making light of it. You ever have somebody make light of you because you're faithful doing something? I don't care what you do. If you're doing it for the glory of God, it's nothing to be taken lightly. Do it anyhow. Amen. And his older brother tried to discourage him from doing anything else. But he wouldn't listen to him and pay attention to him. And David said in verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now there's a message in itself. I haven't got time to preach that. There is a cause, and we ought to stand for that cause today and take care. Here's an army being cowed down. Here's an army being defeated. Here's in defeat and everything. And over here is one young man saying, what in the world is going on? Why don't somebody take care of that Philistine over there? Why don't somebody step up? And he said, is there not a cause? His brother made fun of him, made light of him. And David just simply said, is there not a cause? Is this not worth of being a good soldier for? Is there not something we can do about this? Look in verse number 37. And David said, moreover, the Lord to deliver me out of the paw of the lion, now the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of that Philistine. I say, praise God. He had seen God deliver him out of some small things. He said, now a lion and a bear, to me, not really a small thing. But if you put a lion and a bear and compare that Goliath, who was a giant, who was armed fully, had on armor, and had an armor bearer in front of him, and a spear looked like a weaver's beam, and faced him, I'd rather face a lion, I'd rather face a bear. Now, but David been faithful over there, nobody looking, nobody paying any attention. He did what he's supposed to do. Now he's out there, somebody is looking, somebody is paying attention. But that's not why David is doing what he's doing. It doesn't make any difference how many men back there conquered down. It doesn't make any difference to him about all that. He said that Philistine is making fun of the God of heaven, making fun of our God, and somebody needs to handle him. And said the same God that delivered, he said he'd give God glory for delivering that lion to him. He knew God had to help him, he couldn't do it. He knew that battle got him had not God helped him. He said, now I'm going after that Philistine, and the same God is going to help me now that helped me then. I want to tell you, church, something tonight. The same God that has helped us in the past is the same God that will help us now. The same God that's brought deliverance in the past will bring deliverance now. And the same God that's worked miracles in the past can work miracles today. The same God that's helped me in the past can help me now. Same God that's helped you can help you now. I say praise God to the living God. I'm glad David could walk out like a man. Said, whoa, in the world is that? Now, a man could look at it and said, there's no way a little shepherd boy's going out there and do anything. He just simply went out there and went by a brook, picked him up 5 small stones, put in a bag, shepherd's bag, took his little old slingshot and swung it around and told that Goliath. In fact, is I better read to you. Look in verse 45. And this is in verse number 17. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, now listen to what he said, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Another message. He'll give you into my hand. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. I praise God for a faithful soldier. I said, and he went in the name of the Lord for the glory of God. I'm going to do what I'm going to do for the glory of God. And said, I'm going to slay this giant. We're going to take care of the business at hand and take care of that. But let me show you something I want to close with. God also saw the right kind of spirit in David. I want you to look with me, please, in chapter 17 and verse 11. Chapter 17, verse 11. I think that's where I'm going. If I can find it, it's in here. That's not it. Wrong one. Excuse me. Chapter 18, verse 11. Chapter 18, verse 11. Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I'll smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided presence twice. If you look at verse 17, we'll take time to read that. Saul said, I'll give you my daughter to marry if you go out and fight the Philistines, hoping the Philistines would kill him. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, to all his servants, that they should kill David. Verse 11, Saul also sent, this is in chapter 19, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him, to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. And you know the story, that he escaped and God got away. Now here David is. David's been faithful as a shepherd. David's been faithful as a son. David's been faithful as a soldier. Now Saul is jealous of him and trying to kill him. And David, a man in his position and all that he had done, had such an opportunity to kill Saul and yet didn't do it. Look in chapter 24, book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 24, verse number 2. Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David, his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Came to the sheepcots by the way. There was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy in thine hand. Thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Now, as easy as he cut off a part of his robe, he could have cut his head off. He could have killed him there because he slipped up on Saul. Saul didn't know he was there. He was back in the cave hid. He slipped up, cut off a piece of his robe, and could have killed him, and Saul would never even known he was there. But notice what happened when he cut his robe off. Look at verse number 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. He said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed. See, the Lord had Saul anointed king to start with. He said, I can't do this. I can't stretch mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. Saul didn't even know his heir. Later on, verse 16, 17, I won't take time to read all that, but Saul cries out to David and said, David, is that you? And David told him, yeah, and told him what he'd done. And Saul said, I've sinned. He said, I sinned again. But he said that before, but he kept on doing wrong. You start down the wrong. I like what Brother Hazel preached here Sunday night. I like Sunday morning too, but I like Sunday night. He's talking about that miry clay. You get in it and you start sinking in it, and the further you go, the deeper you sink, and the longer you stay, the harder it is to get out. Amen. And Saul started down that slippery path. And Saul started down the road by disobeying the word of God, not doing what God said, and kept going until finally he got to the place. He's outraged. He's trying to kill David. And David got out of his way, and he couldn't do it because God chose David to replace him. And David, there he was, and he had the opportunity to kill him, but he wouldn't do it. And David said, I'm not going to touch God's anointing. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave that to God. And he did leave it to God, and God did take care of Saul. Did wind up. Saul even made a statement in verse number 20. Said, I know the kingdom established in thine hand. I say, thank God for David. You know why David was a good shepherd? You know why David, when nobody's looking, is a good shepherd? You know why David was a good son? Just did what dad's. You know why David was a good soldier and could fight the battle? You know why David was of good spirit and he had a forgiving and looking over and not doing things that was wrong? He couldn't touch God's anointing. He trying to kill him, but he wouldn't touch him. He said, I can't do it. His heart smote him. You know why? Because he had some character. He had some character. He wasn't worried about his reputation. He had some character. He could have killed him. He could have forgot about that giant because everybody else afraid of him. He wouldn't have been no different than everybody else. But he had character and kept it. Let me ask you tonight, what kind of character do you have? Really, down deep inside, in your heart, what kind of character is there? Good question for all of us. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to try to share the word of God. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. We love you tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and deal with our lives. And help us, I pray, to have the right kind of character. God, that we can stand when we need to stand, do what we need to do when we need to do it, and do it with the love of God in our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' precious name.